Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Well, it's time for your examination. This is something that many people go to a medical doctor this time of year for an examination. Many people spend time reflecting on their lives, where they are, various aspects physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, even spiritually. And really, this is a time that we should, I believe, should actually examine ourselves and should actually see whether we are doing what God wants us to do. In fact, we need to ask God to examine us, not just a doctor. Ask God to examine us. And we need to examine ourselves. And we're going to talk about this today on some of those issues. We may not get all the way through this today, but we'll cover this next week if we don't get all the way through it today. A lot of topics, a lot of subject to cover here. But first of all, from our opening passage from Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, "Search me, O God, and know me. Try me and see and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So here we see the psalmist asking God himself to search him. And we should ask God to search us. So as we're reflecting on our life, we shouldn't just think about what we want. We should think about what he wants, what God wants. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we read, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will not be disqualified." So here we see that not only are we to ask God to examine us, but we're to examine ourselves. So as we look at this and as we think about some of these things, we should really ask God to examine us. And, of course, certainly we should listen to our doctors or tests that they are putting us through. Look at the results of that. We should look at our financials, but we should ask God to examine us as well, and we should examine ourselves. So we're going to talk about our physical examination. So again, this is a time that many people think about things that they want to change. Some people may feel that they're too heavy, need to lose some weight. Some people want to go to exercise, and many people, in fact, sign up for gyms and will go for a few days, a few weeks, and then stop going and actually continue to pay the gym. The gym actually knows this, and they sign more people up than their gym can accommodate, because they know that most of them won't actually be there exercising, but they'll be paying customers. You see this happening quite often, but we actually need to look at our health, and because it's important, I believe one of the reasons I focus on health is because I want to be able to accomplish everything God wants me to accomplish. I don't want to be limited because I'm sick. I don't want to be, and obviously sometimes I am sick, but I want those times to be few and far between. And I don't want to spend half of my life in my older years visiting doctors. I want to actually be healthy, to have a vibrant life, and I want to be someone that can actually have accomplished much for God, even in my latter years. So one of the things we look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and we read, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" So here we see that God, the Holy Spirit, our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. We are not our own, but we actually have been given this body by God, and we should take care of it. In the book Eat to Live, which is authored by Dr. Joel Fuhrman, a medical doctor, the foreword is by Dr. Oz, who he writes this: "Although the United States is the most powerful nation on earth, the one area in which this country does not excel is health, and the future is not bright. In 1970, Americans ate 6 billion fast food meals. By the year 2000, the figure was 10 billion, or 110 billion, excuse me. Poor nutrition can also result in less productivity at work and school, hyperactivity among children and adolescents, and mood swings, all of which heighten feelings of stress, isolation, and insecurity. Even basic quality of life concerns such as constipation are affected, resulting in Americans spending $600 million annually on laxatives. The U.S. Surgeon General has reported that 300,000 deaths annually are caused by or related to obesity. The incidence of diabetes alone has risen by a third since 1990, and treatment costs are $100 billion a year. So we need to actually look at our health. You know, one of our customers, I was visiting his office recently, and I noticed that he was slimmer than he has been in the past. And I mentioned this. I asked him, "Are you losing weight? You look like you've been losing weight." And he said, "You know, people say that." He said, "Really, I've changed my diet because I went to the doctor and the doctor said your blood pressure has been good all along, but now it's high. And I need to let you know that maybe you should do something about this. There are things that you can do." And so he stopped eating certain types of food. He said, "You know, there are certain foods that I eat them and I don't get really sick or have a bad reaction to it, but I just feel like I'm drained. I don't have a lot of energy after eating that meal. I feel heavy. I can't really accomplish much." And so he started incorporating, cut those foods out of his diet, started incorporating some raw fruits and vegetables, and just has more energy, and he's losing weight as a result, and his blood pressure is coming in line. He's not having problems with that anymore. So we should, when we see things that have been right in the past that are not right anymore, we should look at that and say, "Hey, maybe I should do something different about this." It's also time to examine our priorities. One of the things we look at, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of which is to come." So, first of all, one of the things we need to realize is that this was written at a time where they didn't have automobiles. They didn't have, today you have automobiles, you have motorcycles, you have airplanes, you have scooters, you have even bicycles today. You can get bicycles that you don't have to pedal anymore. They're battery powered and electric, and you just plug them in, and then when you want to go, you can. You know, some of those people are flying around pretty quick on these bicycles, and sometimes you even see them pedaling, but they're not really doing much with pedaling. It's mostly the battery that is actually propelling the bicycle. But at this time, they actually walked most of the places that they went. And they did go on ship certain places, but they walked really miles a day. It was not uncommon for them to walk miles a day. Even if you think in, you know, walking maybe from one city to the next city, maybe 10 miles. Well, you know, if they wanted to go from one city to the next city, in most cases, that's how they would get there, is actually on foot by walking. So really, bodily exercise is more useful and more needed in our society today, where many people sit at a desk working on a computer and don't even have to get up to get something that they printed. They just reach over to the printer that's right on their desk and grab that, whatever they printed, and actually bring it over to them. And many people, you know, some people even have reminders to get up, to move around, to take a few steps. But we also need to realize that bodily exercise isn't the most important thing in life. And there are some people that place a higher emphasis on their physical health than on their spiritual health. And we need to realize that we need to keep things in priority, the right priority, to make sure that we realize that our spiritual health is even more important. Not that our physical health isn't important, but our spiritual health is even more important. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So we are to seek first his kingdom. Certainly, there are some people that seek first wealth. There are some people that seek first to obtain possessions, to obtain power. But God says that we are to seek first his kingdom in our lives and here on earth as well, and also his righteousness. And God will bless us financially. He'll bless us with influence, but we need to be seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then in his time, he will bless us with what we need. We also look at our financial examination. It's time for our financial examination. Many people at this time of the year, you know, they might have spent too much for Christmas. Maybe they were spending too much all year. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're in debt because of things that you've bought that you didn't even really need. You know, sometimes people borrow money to give gifts to other people. And then sometimes they never even repay that debt. But we need to really learn and examine ourselves, examine our finances, and see what it is that we need to do to bring those in a right relationship. You know, and to balance, we need to make sure it really isn't a good testimony for Christians to be not able to pay their bills or to write checks and have those checks bounce. You know, we need to be people that are responsible and that have our finances in order. And many of us are lacking in this area and need to actually make changes. Certainly, one of the things you may have heard, that the definition of insanity, I think it was Einstein that said this, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And one of the things that we need to realize is that if changes need to be made, if we don't like how things are, we need to make changes in order for those things to be different. And that may be working harder. It may be going to school and learning a new skill. It may be studying on our own and learning a new skill, or even being an apprentice for someone and learning a new skill. Maybe starting an extra job, maybe spending less, maybe directing what we spend for what we need and actually saving money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, we read this, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, and a great and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So godliness with contentment is great gain. And he's really talking here about, first of all, placing your priorities correctly, making sure you are godly, and not having this love of money where you're seeking after wealth for the purpose of getting wealth. Certainly we need money, and money is useful. Money is useful even in the kingdom of God, as we'll see in just a minute. But we shouldn't go after money to the detriment of relationships. We shouldn't go after money to the detriment of our relationship with God, certainly. We should make sure that we are doing, and we shouldn't compromise our morals to earn money. Many people are placed in situations where they have to choose between doing what is right or earning money. And certainly when that situation comes, we need to make the right decision. You know, there have been times, there was actually a time in our business where we actually were in need, where we actually could have benefited from extra work. And someone came to me and had a proposition where I could actually build a website and make a considerable amount of money building this website, and there would be maintenance that would be involved in this website, and we could definitely have used that money at that time. However, the content of the website was pornographic. It wasn't even a thought. I didn't even have to consider it. I knew what was right to do, and I told the gentleman that we could not do that. We would not do that. I mean, certainly we could. We were capable of doing it. Of course, even the process of doing it would have subjected me to the temptation to lust after women that I'm not married to. And that would be very dangerous. And I would be participating in an evil industry that exploits women. And that was something that I was not willing to do. And you need to have You need to put first the kingdom of God and realize that God is the one, and we need to follow his commandments and his precepts and not compromise on those. And you need to make sure that you're seeking first godliness and being content with what you have, instead of always wanting more. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, we read, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Now, this verse was written in the context of the people of Israel, God telling the people of Israel that when they obey him, that he will bless them. So they're putting first the kingdom of God, and then God is saying, I'm going to bless you. And then what you see is you actually see God blessing, but you also see, in addition to that, you also see God warning them to not be fat and well fed and forget God, but to realize that God is the one that has given them the wealth. And not just the wealth, but the power to get wealth so that he might establish his covenant. And so money is important, even in the kingdom of God, to be able to establish the covenant of God, to be able to reach out to the poor, to be able to help out those who are needy, to be able to help pro-life pregnancy centers provide free help to women who are considering abortion. and who hopefully will not have that abortion when they realize that there are people that will come alongside them and help them have this baby and either raise this baby or give the baby for adoption, but that they don't have to pay an abortionist to rip their baby limb from limb or to take a drug that would actually poison the baby and cause the baby to be killed. So it's in, money is important. And you see here that God gives us not wealth, but he gives us the power to get wealth. And it is then up to us to utilize that power to obtain wealth. In other words, we need to develop the skills. God can give us ability, but we need to hone that ability. We need to focus on that. We need to work. We need to study. We need to make sure that we are doing what is necessary to be as skillful as possible. And some of those skills aren't just the ability to do things, but also the ability to relate with customers, to relate with people, to be nice, to be friendly, to be someone that they want to do business with. We also need to have the self-discipline to get up in the morning. We need to go to work, be at work early, be at work late, putting in the extra, going the extra mile, going above and beyond. And whether you're working for someone else or whether you're working for yourself, if you're giving extra, if you're doing more than what is typical, more than the bare minimum. Some people just want to do the bare minimum and just collect money and then go on their way. But God wants us to be diligent. He wants us to work not like we're working for man, but to work like we're working for him. And the Bible says that he will reward us when we do. So God gives us the power to get wealth, and it is then up to us to actually use that power to actually get wealth. And part of that, again, is our self-discipline. Part of that is our skill set, and which includes relational skill sets as well as the ability to function and do something. But it's us actually utilizing this power and then realizing that, first of all, when God does reward us, that it's not because of who we are, but it's because of how we have followed his commandments and utilized that power that he has given us, and that the blessings are his, and the money should actually be used not just for our needs, but it should also be used to help out other people and to establish his covenant. In Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 23, we read, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks, and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever. Nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants." So here we see that we are to, in fact, look at what we have, to examine this and really to realize that wealth doesn't endure forever. You know, you might sit back and you say, "Wow, you know, I have money in the bank account today, and I'm able to pay my bills today." And, you know, of course, Proverbs is talking really about an agrarian culture where you have flocks and you have produce, and you may or may not be involved in that type of wealth. You may not be, that might not be your business. In fact, most likely that's not your business. But still, we can look at what we have. We can look at our possessions. We can look at our investments. We can look at our money. We can think, you know, what would happen if I were to lose my job? What would happen if a customer stopped doing business with my business? What would happen if I had a major major expense? Am I prepared for that? And the whole idea here is to examine where you are, what position you're in, and to take steps proactively before there's a problem, to take steps proactively to make sure that you have the appropriate cash flow, to make sure that you have the appropriate skill set, to make sure that you have the ability to actually earn money. You're developing relationships that if you lose a position at one place, you could go to another place where you have relationships. Or if you were to, if you actually lost a customer, that you actually are gaining additional customers, not just relying on that same customer to provide for your needs. But you're actually being proactive about this. And certainly, we need to look at our physical health. We need to look at we need to make sure that our priorities are correct. And we need to actually make sure and examine our financial position as well. And make sure that we are seeking first His commandments and putting Him first in every area of our lives. And if we do this, we're going to be in a better position. And next week we'll pick this up and we'll talk about examining our relationships and also our spiritual life. We'll also even talk about developing a biblical worldview and even looking at examining our government and bringing our government, calling our government to stand for what is right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Happy New Year! At this time of the year, many reflect on the past year, where we are, where God wants us to be, and plan to make changes to help us move closer to the mark God has set for us. This year, ask God to examine you, show you where you need to change, and help you make those changes. With God's help, this year can be your best year ever.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you